Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Malia Lindquist.
I was born in Miami at Baptist Hospital and went to public schools. And I had one of those moms who was the opposite of what I turned out to be and what all my friends turned out to be, and that she was not a tiger mom or a helicopter mom. And it's not that she wasn't involved. She supported me, but she just, whatever I did was fine. And when I was in school, I was one of those kids who needed to make an A, and I would cry hysterically, and she would look at me like I was crazy. And I think sometimes she just wondered how she got this daughter. She was kind of curious. And, you know, we grew up. She was my softball coach. I was a cheerleader. And always I wanted to make the A. And when people would say, what do you want to grow up to be? I would say, I have no idea. I just want to make A's. And so fast forward years later, I went away to college. And again, people would say, what do you want to be? I'm like, I don't know. But I went to one of those colleges where everybody did something so-called important. There was a lot of lawyers and doctors and accountants. And I was really bad at math and science. And so I said, well, I guess I'll go to law school. So I went to Georgetown Law School. And again, I just really wanted to make the A. And people would say, well, why do you want to be a lawyer? And I would just shrug. I had no idea. And I was so out of it that third year somebody said, oh, you are going to be Malia Lindquist Esquire. And this is my third year of law school, and I don't know what Esquire is. So that's kind of like somebody going to medical school and not knowing what it means to be an MD. And I remember my mom, when I told her I was going to go to law school and I'd gotten into Georgetown Law School, she was just, again, she was sort of curious. She says, well, that's nice, honey, if that's what you want to do. But it just seems like lawyers are under a lot of stress. I said, you know, Georgetown Law School is a kind of a good law school. It's not Harvard, but it's up there. And she said, that's nice, honey. I'm just really, that, if that's what you want to do. But, you know, I just want you to be happy. I went to take the bar exam in Tampa, and because I did not go to law school in Florida, I didn't know anybody taking it, and so she went up with me, and she witnessed her neurotic, crazy child that she's convinced was switched at birth, because I got physically sick. I got so bad that at 4 in the morning, I was still awake the night before the bar exam, and she says, Malia, you know, I don't know what to do. Here, I have a sleeping pill. Take half of a sleeping pill. And of course, because I hadn't been able to eat, I still couldn't sleep because I was just so neurotic, I threw up. And by some miracle, I end up passing the bar. And when it was time to work, people would say, well, you know, what do you want to do? And I had no idea. So I just came back to Miami and I took the best paying job, which was at this big, fancy law firm. And I liked it because I could go in there and wear a really cute outfit. And people in the law firm, they had lots of departments. They'd say, well, what do you want to do? And I'd say, well, I have no idea. And so I got stuck doing civil commercial litigation. I didn't really know what that meant. And I quickly found out that it means, for me, being really, really bored, because it was a lot of research and writing about things that did not matter. And so I lasted a year, and I got fired from that job. I was hysterical and told everybody, but again, it's sort of like the getting the A thing. The truth is that 25 other people were laid off at the same time as I was, but I was convinced that I should have been one of the three that were kept. So I got another job, but it was also doing civil litigation. So I once read this book called The Accidental Tourist, and it was about this guy who just, things just happened to him, and he really had no intention behind his life. And that was me. So I get this job at a smaller law firm, and I found out a couple of things. One is that I really like to win. But two, I'm sort of attached to being right and what's right and wrong. And that does not make for a good lawyer, because in the law, there is no glory in being right. And I would be very upset if a judge made a ruling that wasn't right or wasn't fair, when the opposing counsel did something that I considered to be unethical, when I had clients who I felt that they were wrong. Like, here, settle, you're wrong, pay up, do what you need to do to make this right. And I did last a little longer in that firm, but again, I was just feeling disgruntled. And, you know, I talked to my mom and I said, you know, I don't like this job. She says, you know, you are a malcontent. My mom had always been content. She's a happy person. When I was young and my parents got divorced, she got a job as a waitress. She had had me when she was 18 and had never worked, and she thought that was a great job. And a few years later, when she got a job delivering mail with the post office, she considered that to be awesome. And she was happy and she was content. And she ended up keeping that job until she retired. So the fact that I kept changing jobs was just a source of irritation for her. And so at one point, I just quit. And I quit on a day that I looked around and I looked at the partners who I loved and respected and admired, but I looked at their life and they were all really successful and wealthy, and they didn't have a life that I wanted. I knew if I could work there 10 more years, and I just wasn't going to want to do that. So I quit. And I went to work for the state attorney's office, which is a job people usually take right after law school, not after you've been working for 7 years. And at first, I loved that job. The Dade County attorney's office, they're criminal prosecutors. And in Miami, it's like nothing else. I loved going to work, and there would be dead chickens in the road that were sacrificed overnight for the people in jail. One day, there was a dead goat. And I went to trial, and I got to win because I had the discretion as a prosecutor not to take cases. But that it came time for sentencing, my philosophy was, well, he doesn't need to go to jail. And so Miss Rundle, the state attorney, she's awesome, but she's like, no, they need to go to jail. So anyway, I didn't last long at that. I had babies, and I finally realized why I wanted to be a lawyer. One is I like crazy, interesting things, heartwarming things, sad things, outrageous things. Two is I need to be involved in something that at least I think is right. And I've been able to find that balance by, yes, I'm still a lawyer, but I'm no longer helping people to win necessarily. I'm helping people who are in prison and getting out. But my mom, she's still, what are you doing? Were you switched at birth?
Malia Lindquist with a story about finding her way.
That's a nice way of saying it, Michael. Yes, this was a person, and I say this with all love and respect, she was too smart for her own good.
Would it be a correct generalization, Karen, to say that lawyers care more about winning cases than what is right and wrong?
Well, let me see. Having polled every single lawyer in the world, you're absolutely right. That is the crux of the matter, is that a lawyer's job is to win for his or her client, you know? And I'm not saying that there aren't plenty of lawyers who have problems with that. In fact, I know a number of lawyers who have left the profession altogether because it ended up being more about winning and losing. In Malia's case, a story is about transformation, and a story is about some kind of conflict. And Malia got into the profession because she was a very, very smart person who cared about getting those A's, cared about winning. So you would think that she'd be the perfect lawyer because she cared about winning. But somewhere along the way, what was important for her as a person to be a winner was not as important as having justice be done. So she says this wonderful thing. She used great quotes throughout, and I love when people use quotes in their stories because it really makes it come alive. She was saying to her client, you're wrong, pay up. And that is not exactly what we expect our lawyers to say.
I saw some of myself in the story. I did not have a lot of intention when I went to school, and Malia said to her mom as well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing as good as I can, but I don't know what I want to do.
And a lot of smart people go into law, but they don't necessarily know what they want to do with the law. Most of them, and this made me laugh, most of them, however, do know what ESQ means after their name. And I love the way she made that comparison for anybody who doesn't know, who is not a lawyer. Saying MD after somebody's name means they're a doctor. Saying ESQ or Esquire after somebody's name just means they're a lawyer. And to go through almost 3 years of law school, and that's when you graduate after 3 years without knowing that, it just said it all.
She brought up the book, The Accidental Tourist. I didn't read the book. I saw the movie.
Yeah, and they were both really good. The book by Ann Tyler is really, I guess you'd almost say, a classic at this point. There are cues that are indirect that tell us who this person is, right? So they're giving us the story, the facts of the story, point A, point B, point C, point D in sequence. But the things that they kind of drop in their telling of the story tell us everything about who they are. For example, not only did she mention a work of fiction, but she uses the book instead of the movie. This is a person who is well-read, well-educated, and while she's talking, she'll mention books she's read that will remind her of something that she wants to say. So she doesn't have to tell us, in other words, that her IQ is off the charts. We know that from the way she tells her story. She uses the word malcontent. You know, I mean, that's already a $15 word. With inflation, that might be a $20 word there. She is very clearly a very intelligent person. She doesn't have to tell us. She shows us.
Well, it's funny how different she is from her mom.
That is how she frames this story. She starts off in terms of many people have the tiger mom, that is the mom that is cracking the whip and making you do better, 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 better. She didn't have that. Her mom is somebody she drops in as a way of saying, you know, I'm so different. I'm so different. I don't know why I'm like this. And then she ends the story with her mom. And so it was a lovely juxtaposition. Obviously, she loves her mother and she cares about her mother, or she wouldn't keep bringing her up in the way that she does. But this is an apple that fell, as we say, pretty far from the tree. And let's hope that by the end of her story, she is as content as her mother has been all along.
Thank you for bringing that story in, Karen. Are there any South Florida storytelling events?
Yes, Michael. A week from tonight at 8 p.m., there is Vox, the Storytelling Slam, and that is at FAU's Boca Raton campus, 777 Glades Road. Anyone can tell a story or just listen to a 5 to 7 minute story. And also, starting on Monday, February 1st, is the Jewish Storytelling Project, a series of workshops and performances at the JCC in Boca Raton, the South County JCC.
Thank you, Karen. If we have other listeners who'd like to share their South Florida story, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Or contact me here, 305-995-2264. Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories. Go to wlrn.org, radio, and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.